KSDP 830 AM Sandpoint, Alaska, and K201 DA 88.1 FM King Cove.
After the birth of her daughter, Laura Marling thought that was it for her songwriting career.
I guess I've been programmed to think that like parenthood or motherhood is the end of desire in a way and the end of the self. And I was so pleasantly surprised by that not being the case.
Child of mine.
Armed with that motivation, she honed in on beginnings and endings with her new album, Patterns in Repeat.
Patterns that play out over generations are fascinating. You know, and they are a huge part of what kind of person you are and what, I guess I was thinking, what kind of parent you might be.
Coming up, we'll talk about the challenges of recording demos from home with a newborn, but why they ended up being the ones she kept for the album. Plus, we'll hear live performances of songs from Patterns in Repeat. It's Laura Marling today. I'm Kaleo. This is World Cafe.
They cast their golden light across the sun.
Now, not only is Laura a great performer and artist and a great conversationalist, she's an incredible writer. Worth checking out her Substack, where she compares songwriting to tarot. Our interview in just a few minutes, but first, the Rolling Stones.
Let's drink to the hardworking people. Let's drink to the lonely of birth. Raise your glass to the good and the evil. Let's drink to the salt of the earth. Say a prayer for the common foot soldier. Spare a heart for his backbreaking work. Say a prayer for his wife and his children. Burn the fires and who still till the earth. When I search a faceless crowd, a swirling mass of gray and black and white, they don't look real to me. In fact, they look so strange. Raise your glass to the hard-working people.
Yeah.
From NPR, it's World Cafe. Hi, I'm Kaleo. Laura Marling's last studio album title certainly seems prophetic. 2020's Songs for Our Daughter was written and recorded before she even seriously considered parenthood. She often thought it'd be the death of her songwriting career. But a few years back, a conversation with an old friend changed her mind, and she had a daughter not too long ago. Imagine then she found herself surprised by another desire, to not only write about her present, but to look to the past as well, to see what the future might hold. It's led to her latest album, The Breathtaking Patterns in Repeat. Coming up, we'll talk about that surprise burst of creativity she experienced after giving birth, and we're treated to live performances, starting with the song Caroline. Here's Laura Marling on World Cafe.
What a way to change an evening. Was my number hard to find? You know, I'd given up believing, though the song had somewhat lingered on my mind. La 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 la, something something Caroline. Caroline, you're like an ember, a rock that bursts back into life, a song I only just remember that goes, oh, something, something, Caroline. La 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 la, something, something, Caroline. Caroline, we are old now. I got married and I love my wife. I have kids, they're good and grown now. All in all, I was happy with my life. Though I was never really far from you, was I something, something?
Recorded live on World Cafe, it's Laura Marling with a performance of Caroline. It's a song from her latest studio album, Patterns in Repeat, which is available now. I'm Kaleo. This is World Cafe. Laura, it's so nice to meet. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
How are you doing? How are things going?
I'm good. I'm at home in London. I'm 6.5 months pregnant, so I'm in that frame of mind.
Wow. Congratulations, I believe is the appropriate response here, which is sincere and appropriate because this album that we're talking about, Patterns and Repeat, is about motherhood. And I know it only came out a few months ago, but its origin story is a little bit longer. Mm. What do you think the first seed of the record was as you see it now?
Well, I mean, surprised after, I guess, my first daughter was born that I had any desire to write music, I think, or like... any desire, full stop. That was kind of the beginning of the of the songwriting process. Because I guess I've been programmed to think that, like, you know, parenthood or motherhood is the end of desire in a way, and the end of the self. And I was so pleasantly surprised by that not being the case.
You weren't ready to pack it in just yet.
I wasn't, no. So yeah, that's where it came from, basically.
Yeah. I know you've talked in the past that you sort of empathized with Nick Cave's discussion of making music, and in that, like, trying to make an album sometimes is sort of like you're dying inside. And I wondered if that course held through given the circumstances of making this record, you know, with the birth of your daughter.
Yeah. Well, I guess I had something new to compare it to this time, which was not that I've experienced death personally, but obviously, but it was a little bit like childbirth without going into gory details, in that you reach a point where you feel like you're dying in childbirth. And then shortly after the baby is born, which is quite like how albums are made. There's sort of like a point where it just feels so unbearable that everything is collapsing, not pulling together. And then suddenly everything comes together and it's fine. It's like a, you know, a small drama, containable drama.
Yeah. You're listening to World Cafe. We're here with Laura Marling. The new album is called Patterns and Repeat. And, you know, thinking about the recording process, I found it really interesting that you declined your producer's offer, Dom Monks, to re-record the songs that you had demoed in your own room in his studio. Can you tell me a little bit about why you wanted to make that call?
Well, I didn't decline. We did do it. And then I just preferred the versions that I'd done at home. There was something, and I think he did too, I should be clear. There was something about the way in which they had to be recorded. My daughter was 6 months when I recorded the demos. And she was either in the room with me while I was doing it or in bed, not far away. And so everything that was recorded with like a great amount of kind of the right level of anxiety and quietness. and it gave it a kind of a feeling that was hard to recapture in a perfect environment. And that's, you know, like a fun part of modern advances in recording, is that you can, the recording environment can become so much more a part of the process of making album.
Yeah, I would have never known that they were home demos, with the exception of, say, like a few of the artifacts, like, you know, you can hear your daughter in the background of a song. You said anxiety. Can you talk a little bit about where that anxiety would come from? Is it the pressure to get it right while you're performing it?
Yeah, I mean, the pressure, like the tremendous pressure of time that you're under between like a baby napping. It's very, very basic anxiety.
See, this is something a non-parent doesn't comprehend, doesn't read between the lines on that. Yeah, you're right. So you found yourself like working in like fits and starts?
Yeah. I mean, throughout the day, it was actually a lot easier than one might imagine, because when they're that age and you don't have any other children, they are asleep for a lot of the day. And so, you know, if your setup is ready to go, it's not rocket science. But after 8 months, when my daughter started walking, it became a lot more difficult. So actually the album ended up taking 6 months to finish. And I don't foresee a time in my life where I'm going to be able to do that again.
Yeah. I want to, before we get into this version of Child of Mine that you performed for us for World Cafe, we want to hear a little bit of the album version so they can get a feel for the recording environment.
Your dad are dancing in the kitchen. Life is slowing down, but it's still pushing. I got myself a rod, but I could break it.
That is Child of Mine from the album Patterns and Repeat. We're talking with Laura Marling. Now, before we get into the live version, I know it's sometimes frustrating to ask songwriters to unpack songs before we hear them, but what can you tell us about the song? It doesn't even have to be songwriting related.
Well, it was the first song that I wrote after my daughter was born. And I was overwhelmed by a feeling of like something close to sort of a spiritual experience. I'm sure, well, I know now for a fact, having spoken to lots of people who've now listened to the record, is a very familiar feeling to new, brand new parents. Which is that it must be some kind of biological function if you want to be a kind of a realist about it, but you could be a bit more hippy-dippy about it, maybe. But that you feel an amazing and overwhelming sense of wanting to protect this child, and it's something that might provoke you to believe in God just for the sake of needing something to give you reassurance that it's possible to extend that level of protection over something. And I found it very, very profound and a very unique experience in life. I don't think I'd ever felt anything like that. That was what that song came from.
Let's listen to Child of Mine. Here's Laura Marling on World Cafe.
You and your dad are dancing in the kitchen. Life is slowing down, but it's still. I got myself a ride, but I could break it. If my back is still as strong as I can make it. Plus, you're mine. So, who would rush right through a child of mine? Child of mine, child of mine. Everything you want is within your reach right now. Anything that's not, I'd like to teach somehow. Everything about you is intuitive. Those who miss the point might rush right to it, because it's fine. But I don't want to miss it, child of mine, child of mine, child of mine. Last night in your sleep you started crying. Can't protect you there, though I keep trying. Sometimes you'll go places I won't get to, but I've spoken with the angels who protect you, because you're mine. They'll cast their golden light across this child, child of mine. Child of mine, child of mine, child of mine, child of mine. Long nights, fast years, so they say. And I don't wanna miss it, and I don't wanna miss it, and I'm not gonna miss it, child of mine, 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 child.
Recorded live, it's Laura Marling Child of Mine. It's from her new album, Patterns and Repeat, which is available now. You're listening to World Cafe. The album is about being a mother. We've talked a little bit about that. But you also wanted to explore the other direction, looking towards your parents and familial connections. And you talked about a phrase, family constellations. And I would love to know a little bit more about that and how it ties into the album, or how you wanted it to tie into the album.
Yeah, so there is a type of therapy called family constellation therapy, which I'm only vaguely familiar with, but I like the premise, which is that you, with a room full of strangers, kind of remake where you sit within your the constellation of your family. So the sort of stereotypical place that you would sit in the, you know, amongst your siblings and amongst your parents and so on. And then you kind of do some performative, it's not for me personally, but, you know, do some performative play and work things out. But I do think that's it's a very important concept, like how you sit in the constellation of your family really has an effect on how you view the world and your experience of the world. And as you know, the patterns that play out over generations are fascinating, you know, and they are a huge part of what kind of person you are and what, I guess I was thinking, what kind of parent you might be. And a lot of people's experience of their childhood gives them a determination to be a different kind of parent than the one that they experienced, or, you know, or not. So looking backwards towards the fables and like repeated tales that are told in your own family is really interesting, because what are the I guess what are the recurring stories that come up, and what are the recurring characters that seem to be assigned to people in your family? And sorry, I was interested in that as I was experiencing this future that having a child makes you really think, there's a future that needs considering. Mm-hmm.
Do those moments of thinking about the future, I mean, I envision they inevitably have you, you know, thinking about the past. When you wanted to write, you know, think about songs, like, you know, there's a song from your dad on the album. Like, how did that manifest, like, in the songs that you wrote, having had that experience, particularly the songs that sort of look at your lineage as opposed to the future? Lineage isn't the right word. Looking towards your parents as opposed to your children.
Yeah. Well, I guess like one of the things that I had an amazing, my parents are amazing. I love my parents. I had an amazing childhood. One of the things that I think is amazing about my parents that I took for granted was that my dad had been a songwriter. He ran a studio. My parents ran a recording studio together when I was little, and eventually had to give it up when recording studios started becoming a thing in the past in the 90s. As I was becoming a teenager, me and my sisters were discovering my dad's songs that he'd written and kept on reel-to-reel tape, one of which is on the album. I covered it. And what it reveals is an interior world of my father that I hadn't ever really understood that existed. You know, like a world that involved a life before my mother, a life like a young person's life, and, you know, all the things that happen before you establish your life that produces the children that you have, basically. And it made me realize, as I was sort of like listening to him sing it in my kitchen when my daughter was born and I asked him to play it, because I was thinking about it a lot. I was like, you know, one of the great things that really good parents do is seemingly give up their internal worlds and their desires, because they have children to think about. They put children at the center of their world. And that could be sound like a scary, it's a very like different mindset to the one that my generation lives in. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. So
like, yeah. I made me realize that it's possible to do that and still have those experiences and desires and like an internal world that's rich and full of inspiration or wants. It's just that you protect your children from it in a way.
So they don't see it necessarily.
Or they don't suffer the consequences of it, whatever that may be. And there's something noble about that. And I started to sort of understand yeah, find value in that and be very grateful for having been the beneficiary of it.
Yeah, I would love to play a little bit of your performance of Looking Back from the album, a song that your father originally wrote. It's Laura Marling on World Cafe.
Now I'm a prisoner in this chair, confined to younger faces. My memories, I'm not with them, but off in distant places. Looking back, that's all I do. Looking back, that's all I do. Looking back, that's all I'll ever do.
I'm going to ask, maybe it's a hypothetical. That song feels incredibly honest. And I know in the world of songwriting, it is very presumptuous to say, what were you thinking about? You might not even be the character. Your father might not even be the protagonist. Does that feel like an honest song to you? What does that song capture for you?
Well, he wrote that when he was 27. So younger, you know, younger than I was when I recorded it. And I imagine, I don't know, because I don't ask, I don't have this relationship with my dad where I don't ask him. I have a sort of, you know, slightly stiff English style relationship with them, which I wouldn't change. But I like the mystery of it, I guess. And I like that in songs generally. I mean, there's the idea that there were parallel existences and that you could have made a different choice and that things would have been a different way or whatever. That's, of course, the never fulfilled yearning of most of art and songwriting. And that's what was so special about that song to me.
This is World Cafe. Laura Marling's here. The new album is Patterns and Repeat. The title track was written sitting on the balcony of a Paris hotel. Is it as picturesque and romantic and conducive to songwriting as one might imagine, or does environment have nothing to do with writing a good song?
Well, in that particular circumstance, I was forced onto a balcony because...
Wait, forced?
I was forced, yeah, by my daughter, because we had to go to Paris very last minute for a funeral, and we had to book a hotel under, you know, pressure. And we hadn't ever experienced what that would be like as parents. And of course, if your baby goes to bed at 7, you've got nowhere to go. So, you know, it's not the greatest boohoo story in the world, because I was in Paris and it was the summer and it was lovely. But yeah, and it had a kind of significance, because I guess it was the funeral of a matriarch in my husband's family. And and my daughter was only 4 or 5 months old. So we had a sort of, the funny thing about being like the generation below boomers, I guess, or children of boomers, is that we're all having children just as they're getting ready to jump off the other end, you know, which is quite weird. Maybe the first time that's been so close together, that you know, that those two life experiences, because they had children late, now we're having children late. So they're old and our children are babies. I don't know. So I was thinking about that.
Last question. Towards the end of Patterns and Repeat, you know, we hear something familiar, Breathe, or the melody from 2013's Breathe. Did you find yourself revisiting a lot of your past work, maybe looking for patterns?
No, I think that just that album. So I was 22 when I wrote that for the first time, or wrote that melody for the first time. And that album, Once I Was an Eagle, was the beginning, or in the midst of the absolute freedom and chaos of my 20s, which was wonderful. And returning to that melody at the end of this album, I don't know, it was like speaking to a younger version of myself. Or I sometimes, like, occasionally you meet people who are, who are, well, occasionally I meet people who are familiar with my music, and they're younger than me, and it really surprises me. And I feel what stage of life they're in. And I feel like incredibly, not jealous, but I feel like incredibly like, I don't know, enthused by what stage of life they're in. And I know the chaos of the feelings that they're feeling. And also the relief of being past that point in my life. So I guess I was sort of reflecting on that a little bit, that feeling.
Let's listen to Patterns and Repeat. Here's Laura Marling on World Cafe.
The way you'd walk into a room, tell me for the millionth time, the many fine points to tell your story. Like Calabasas was in bloom. You know I'm frankly unaware of all the ways in which that is supposed to move me. You should skip the end, the photograph, the friend, the long returning trend that you'd foreseen. Just patterns in repeat, as they've always been. Had your children on the fly, another child, another guy, another chance to fall in love again. I fear they may have paid a price for the freedom of your life, though you would say that was a chance to show them the open doors, broken bones, and marble floors. That repeat forevermore. If only I had known you then, I hang around, perhaps a friend, an ear to bend around which way you saw it play. Tell it well, I try to sell them on the fact you were a match, ever a scratch away from bursting into flames, and a light perfume that lingered in the room, that everlasting tune you had to sing, a smile or two, a gap between your teeth, your dirty underwear, your diamond ring. Patterns that repeat as they've always been. Thank you.
recorded live for World Cafe. It's Laura Marling. Patterns in Repeat. It's the title track to her new studio album, which is available now. Laura, it's always a pleasure to have you on the cafe. Thank you so much for coming back once again. Congrats on everything, and we hope to talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for having me again.
Right. That's Laura Marling. We're back in a minute with more World Cafe. And we're back on World Cafe. Thanks again to Laura Marling. New album, Patterns in Repeat, is fantastic. Her Substack, where as of late she's been looking at songwriting through the lens of tarot cards. Fascinating. Worth a subscribe. Hat tip to our producer, Miguel Perez, for the work on the session. And we're back into it with Beck from, during his 90s, he had a streak of so many good albums that some of them get lost in the mix. Mutations, still fantastic. Here's Tropicalia from Beck.
Oh, it may be upon a broken guitar in all the streets, the reek of tropical charms, the embassies, lying hideous yards where tourists snore and decay. When they dance, reptile blades, you wear a mask, an equatorial haze into the past, a colonial maze where there's no more confetti to throw. You wouldn't know what to say to yourself. Love is a poverty you couldn't sell. Misery waits in big hotels. Be a victim. You're out of luck, singing funeral songs to the studs, the anabolic and bonds, they seem to strut, and their millennial fogs till they fall down and deflate. You wouldn't know what to say to yourself. Love is a poverty you couldn't sell. Misery waits in big hotels. Be everything. You've had your fun under an air-conditioned sun. It's burned into your eyes, leaves you plain and left behind. I see them rise and fall into the jaws of a past and live long. You wouldn't know what to say to yourself. Love is a poverty you couldn't sell. Misery waits in big hotels. Be a victim. We'll be right back.
put your show clean up. I see that fresh number seven. You got it super tough. You got your line. It ain't Hollywood. You ain't Versace, Hibachi, but what you got's got me good. When you put your hands on my
titans of the Twin City music scene, although they would probably debate that. The Replacements from Let It Be, it's I Will Dare. Coming up, a very catchy new song from a singer-songwriter who has definitely captured my attention so far in 2025. That's in a minute on World Cafe. Welcome back. It's World Cafe. I am Kaleo, and this new album from Hannah Cohen is something else. And if you're not familiar with her, growing up in the Bay Area, daughter of a jazz drummer, was a model in New York City in the 90s, being shot by guys like Terry Richardson. And for the last few years, alongside her partner, Sam Evian, has run a recording studio in the Catskills. Her new album is awesome. It's called Earth Star Mountain. And here's a track from it, Dusty. It's Hannah Cohen on World Cafe.
It's not supposed to laughter. I don't know if I'm scared of dying, but I'm scared of living too fast, too slow. Regret, remorse, hold on. No, no, I've gotta go. There's no starting over, no new beginnings. Time raises on. Just gotta keep on keeping on. Gotta keep on going, looking straight out on the road. Can't worry about what's behind you, what's coming for you further up the road. Try not to hold on to what is gone. I try to do right what is wrong. I try to keep on keeping on. Yeah, I just keep on keeping on. I hear a voice call, calling out for me. These shackles I made in the town to be free. Be it for ease, be it for love, I won't take the easy road. Ooh, 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 ooh. Ooh, 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 ooh. I've woken up in a hotel room. My worries as big as the moon. Having no idea what or where I. Something good comes with the bad. A song's never just sad. There's hope, there's a silver light. Show me my silver light. Show me my silver light. I hear a voice call, calling out for me. These shackles I made in the town to be free.
Programming on KSDP is supported by the Shumigan Corporation. Located in Sandpoint, the Shumigan family of businesses includes property and equity management, the Sandpoint Tavern, the Anchor Inn Motel, and the Anchor Inn Lounge. The Shumigan Corporation, serving its shareholders and the people of Sandpoint, on the web at www.shumigan.com or by telephone at 907-383-3525. The Shumigan Corporation. Hometown Values and Service. A proud sponsor of KSDP.